This podcast is sponsored by Finomatch, finding the most suitable donor with the matching tool for the best teams.
Hello, and welcome to the Fertility Conversations podcast. The goal of this podcast is to create more awareness about infertility and to provide support to people trying to conceive. Thank you for listening today, and we hope you will be encouraged. And now, here is your host, Ola.
Welcome to another episode of the Fertility Conversations podcast. Today, we are joined by lovely guest, Sarah Trimble. Sarah is a nutritional therapist with nearly 20 years experience working with the complementary health industry. She has a nutritional therapy practice in Belfast, Northern Ireland, which is one of my best locations to visit. And she also supports individuals from around the UK to improve their health with dietary and lifestyle changes. Supporting couples to improve their reproductive health has become a key focus of Sarah's nutritional therapy practice. Sarah is a good lover and keen cook, and she loves to focus on introducing new foods rather than eliminating foods from her diet and making positive dietary changes delicious. Yay. So welcome, Sarah. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Ola. Thanks for inviting me along.
Hey, and we love that, you know, adding more foods and not eliminating foods. That's a really important aspect of diet. Thank you.
And, you know, if you focus on introducing the good foods, there's less space for the bad in the diet. Yeah. So even just saying to yourself, I'm going to eat more of these good foods, these foods that are really nourishing for my body, naturally, you're going to be eating less of the bad. So, you know, never approach dietary change from this sort of attitude that it's denial. It's about, you know, trying new things, you know, giving your body new things, giving your body those nutritious foods. I think that's a really important sort of attitude to have to dietary change.
Yeah, that is true, because that's what we've been used to, right? Just diet, don't take this, don't eat that, eat only. And then, of course, you're so restrictive that you feel like you're starving yourself, and then the one chance you get to eat, and you just eat everything.
Exactly. And so many times, you know, when someone sort of recommends dietary change, we're used to this whole, you know, this is the list of what you can't have is the first thing that you are sort of advised when you're making dietary changes. You know, it's all about like denial. Yes, reduce calories, don't have this, don't have that. And I think nutrition's changed in general recently anyway, in recent years. But it's definitely my approach is like, oh, what can you have? You know, let's fill up the plate with lots of different vegetables. Let's have olive oil, you know, things like that. Whereas, you know, it's not like, oh, the first thing I talk about isn't what you should be cutting out of your diet, really. It's what we're gonna add in, really, you know.
Love it. So I've made a little intro about you. I'm not sure if there's anything else you wanted to add about yourself before we proceed.
Yeah, I must say, you know, as you said, I'm a nutritional therapist. I treat lots of different health concerns. You know, nutrition is very holistic. It's about treating the whole body. You know, so if I see a client, you know, even if they come to me for fertility issues, if they have gut issues, we'll also deal with that as well. Over the years, I've worked a lot in the UK with, you know, some fertility health bodies such as the Fertility Network. And with them, I also do focus quite a lot on how you can support weight loss for reproductive health. So maybe a lot of couples or women who are waiting to be eligible for IVF because they have a high BMI, I would sort of specialize in running courses and helping them achieve that in a healthy way. So you're not only just focused on losing weight, you know, maybe in a potentially negative way for your health, but how you can lose weight and at the same time be promoting your reproductive health, you know, hormone balance, et cetera, with a whole kind of nutrition protocol that will support that. So that's another real area of interest that I've kind of developed over the last few years. And it's really, really, really interesting for me too.
Amazing. And it's a really important part of fertility treatments anyways, or fertility in general. People are really concerned about their nutrition. So having you here to answer some of our many important questions is really amazing. So thank you for joining us today. So like you just spoke about the fact that you don't like to eliminate foods, but one of the questions people always have is that, is there anything they should avoid if they're trying to conceive?
Well, yeah, definitely. That there is that too, because there are those foods that aren't going to support your reproductive health in any way. So kind of number one, I would say is, cut out the processed foods or those real like empty calories. And they kind of go hand in hand. Processed foods usually are empty calories. So ultra processed foods, it's become a bit of a kind of a topic among the nutrition world nowadays, but those are those foods. Essentially, processed foods are the foods made for us by food companies that are not made with good ingredients. They're processed. A lot of the nutrients have been processed out of them. They're giving us calories, but they don't have the nutrition in them. They don't contain the nutrients that they should do if we were, say, for example, to make that food at home. So just think of it as, we think of processed foods like biscuits, cakes, crackers. But it can even be ready meals. It can be, supermarket bread. All these foods that, they're because the food companies are not making those with optimal, high quality ingredients that are full of nutrients. So if you're basing your diet around processed foods a lot of the time, you're not going to be giving your body the nutrients that it needs to support reproductive health. And one thing I always say when we talk about nutrition for reproductive health, I always say to clients, if you think about your reproductive health, you're trying to get your body healthy down to a cellular level. You're trying to produce healthy cells. Women are trying to produce healthy eggs. Men are trying to produce healthy sperm. So think about all the nutrients that the body requires to produce those healthy cells, and a processed food diet is going to lack those. And I use the terminology empty calories. So empty calories are foods that are maybe calorific, but they don't have nutrients. So think of like a packet of crisps. It's giving you so many calories, but there's no nutrition there. So you're filling up your body. You're getting the calorie intake. So you're meeting your energy needs potentially, but you're not meeting your nutrient needs. And so instead of a packet of crisps, you could have had an apple and a handful of nuts. And those are nutrient dense foods. So they're giving you maybe equal calories, but so much more nutrition alongside it. So there's not really a lot of space, in my opinion, for processed foods in your diet if you're trying to conceive. If you do rely a lot on, packaged food, takeaways, I think the first thing you can do for yourself before you make any other dietary changes is just try and start to cook simply at home by yourself, and it doesn't have to be fancy. It can be a quick, pasta sauce instead of a jar. It can be a quick stir fry instead of a takeaway. Things like that can make huge improvement in your diet. And usually it's not even that much more expensive, because processed foods aren't actually that cheap for the kind of the quality and the quantity of foods that they provide either.
Thank you for sharing that. I think it was really important that you said the nutrients that we need, because I think if you look at it that way and not just not the fact that you're hungry, you just eat something, but also realizing that your body needs specific nutrients on a daily basis. So that perhaps that can help us to change our mindsets as well.
Well, that's why we eat, essentially. We eat, well, I always say to my clients, we eat for two reasons. We eat to give our body nutrition that it needs to do all the physiological processes. And one of those physiological processes is reproduction. Reproduction is, though, a very, it's a process that requires a lot of different nutrients. So that's a really interesting area. So we eat for two reasons: to give our body nutrients and to share food and enjoy food with family and friends. And it's about striking that balance. So that's why I always say, even when you're making dietary changes, even if you can do the positive changes 80% of the time, and you can still have that 20% leeway, you're still going to see huge benefits in your health and huge changes to your health from eating really well 80% of the time. It's not that you can't ever, buy a ready meal on the way home from work because you're exhausted. That's not the case, but you have to look at that 80% of the time eating those really, good quality whole foods. And another really good way to look at it is like one ingredient food. So, an apple has one ingredient, it's apples. You know what I mean? Whereas if you look at the back of the package of processed foods, have you looked at the list of ingredients? There's maybe, in a pack of biscuits, there's maybe 20 ingredients, and most of them you maybe don't know what they are, and they definitely don't have any nutritional value for your body. So, you think of that, like, an apple and a handful of almonds, that's two ingredients, that's almonds and apple, and you know what I mean? So
yeah,
that's another really interesting way to think about your diet and approaching dietary change as well.
Right. Thank you. That's really important. I think I'm going to be doing that now as well.
Yeah. But just on another note, another food that you might want to avoid specifically for men who are trying to conceive is soya. There's quite a lot of link between maybe not small soya consumption, but a good level of soya consumption can damage sperm quality. And I have seen that in groups that I've spoken to and clients, maybe men drinking soya milk as a milk alternative, or they're vegan and they're eating a lot of tofu. Too much soya, there's a good evidence that it can damage sperm health, because soya can contain quite a lot of plant estrogens. So that would be one definite one to avoid, for sure.
It's good to know, right? Because there was a time that everyone was talking about soya, like that's the right meal to have, and everyone just went for it and not realizing that it could potentially impact.
I would say maybe, you know, one meal a week with tofu or edamame beans or something would be okay, but definitely not soya milk every day, and definitely not soya yogurts, or some protein powders can sometimes contain soya protein. So I know a lot of men start working out and taking protein powders, and they're using soya protein. And I don't know if you've seen, Ola, like nowadays, quite a lot of companies are producing like high protein foods.
Yeah, because it stays healthier, you know.
Exactly. Protein granola, protein
pancakes,
things like that. It's always really important to read the label on those, because quite a lot of the time that is soya protein that's been added in, because it's high protein but very tasteless. So you can kind of mix it in with the food and it doesn't change the flavor. So always read the label on those kind of things as well, because the definitely that would be one I would talk to you about with most male clients when we're talking about conception, the avoiding the soya.
Thank you for sharing that, because again, male infertility is rising globally, so it's important that people know perhaps things they can do within their own homes to improve their fertility.
Exactly. And I think in most couples, it's usually the female, in my experience, it's the female that comes to the sort of nutrition lifestyle change first. And the you know, the male partner in heterosexual couples, the male partner is kind of then dragged along afterwards. You know, although, I mean, there are exceptions to that sort of that experience. And, you know, and sometimes even I'm working with couples and the male doesn't come along, or, you know, but I always think, you know, that's, you know, the male sperm health, male fertility, that's 50% of the equation here in trying to conceive. And, you know, and women sometimes go, oh, you know, I'll just do it all by myself. I'll make all the changes, or I'll cook for him. But it's really important to do it together as a couple, I think, you know, if it's a male-female couple, for sure. You're both making the changes to your diet.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. It's good for people to actually hear that from you as well. Because I think, again, like you said, there's been a lot of focus on the women, and that's probably because they think that's the woman that's going to get pregnant. Mm-hmm. But like you said, they don't realize that it takes eggs and a healthy egg, healthy sperm to make a baby, or, you know, so important that people make changes. So thank you. Another thing that I think people wonder about is gluten or dairy products. Does that need to be cut out? Because, you know, sometimes we hear milk is good, you need it for your bones. Some people will say, well, it causes inflammation, so you're not really sure, should we be having milk, or should we cut down milk, or should it be whole food or skimmed milk? Or
exactly. It's very confusing, and I must say, you know, that's a question I get asked a lot about cutting out gluten and dairy. And I think you know, we're at a situation at the minute with kind of nutrition advice that, you know, with social media, there's so much nutritional advice and nutritional noise, you know, that it can be very difficult to wade through all that and know what applies to you, you know, what's relevant to you. Should you be cutting out gluten? Should you be cutting out dairy? And, you know, nutrition is, and nutritional therapy is very much a personalized approach. So, you know, what I always say is, yes, the person who's sitting next to you, maybe they need to cut out dairy, but that's not necessarily, that doesn't necessarily apply to you. And I always do say, you know, you should not cut out a major food group until you know for sure that it will benefit you, especially when you are sort of trying to conceive, you are potentially going to be pregnant in the future. It's really important to just be eating as varied a diet as possible. With dairy, for example, definitely certain people will benefit from cutting out dairy. Obviously, if you're lactose intolerant, you may know that already. But you can have low lactose dairy or some fermented dairy, you know, so Working with a nutritional therapist will help you realize what you can and can't have, and to make sure you're getting a varied diet and getting all the nutrients you need, even if you're cutting out certain food groups. With dairy as well, you know, maybe women with endometriosis, there's a significant link there. A lot of women with endometriosis may benefit from cutting out dairy products. But, you know, in that respect, usually I recommend an exclusion for a few weeks. You know, monitor how your symptoms are responding and decide if it's benefiting you. You know, for example, dairy products are one of the best dietary sources of iodine, which is a really important mineral for female fertility. So if you're just cutting out dairy because someone on Instagram or TikTok said it would benefit your fertility, but you don't know for sure, you know, that's not something I would ever advise. And if you are cut, but if you, you know, if you cut out dairy and you feel loads better, you know, you feel like your digestion's better, you know, you feel brilliant, that's okay. But work with a nutritionist to make sure you're not missing out on important minerals like iodine. You know, so that is a really important, you know, approach to take, is like, make sure you're not doing any harm right. by calling out that food group. Gluten, again, it's really personal. You know, a certain percentage of people are sensitive to gluten, and they will really benefit from cutting it out. It can be pro-inflammatory. It can disturb the immune system in some people. So again, and those are very important considerations for reproductive health, you know, keeping inflammation low, keeping your immune system in balance. Mm-hmm. But again, I wouldn't really recommend cutting it out. Usually I would recommend maybe testing for gluten sensitivity. You can do food sensitivity testing. And doing that before you maybe decide to cut it out completely out of your diet, or, you know, maybe, as I said, following a 6-week exclusion, see how you feel. But if you are going to, again, be eliminating gluten from your diet, do work with someone to make sure you're having a balanced diet that is gluten-free, because you could be going, you know, I mentioned processed foods. A lot of the gluten-free foods in the supermarket are incredibly processed and full of fillers, and you know, they're not made with really nice ingredients. So, you know, you might need to work with someone to make sure you're getting a really good balanced gluten-free diet, that you're maintaining your fiber intake, that you're getting a variety of gluten-free grains, you know, and, you know, understanding what are the nutritious gluten-free foods that I can have, you know, rather than just going to the supermarket and buying gluten-free bread, gluten-free bagels, gluten-free crackers, gluten-free biscuits, and relying on those, because, as I said, you can potentially go down the avenue of a gluten-free diet and end up eating a very heavily processed food diet as well. So it's you know, that's a really good question, because that just exemplifies how nutrition is so personalized. And again, you know, unfortunately nowadays it is such a minefield, you know, because there's so much nutrition advice out there. And then, you know, maybe you've opened up to a friend that you're trying to conceive, and then they're giving you nutrition advice, or, you know, someone else is telling you, you should be eating this, or you should be eating that, should you be eating that, you know? And I think that's one area we're at now, where it's like, you know, should you be on a vegan diet? Should you be on a paleo diet? Should you be on all the different diets that are recommended? Should you be fasting? Should you be, you know,
Right.
It's really hard to know what applies. And then, you know, I think I see a lot of people that are trying lots of different things, but they don't know if it's right for them. So then it's really hard to be motivated to stick to it as well. You know, so whereas that's where, you know, someone like myself or all the other really good nutritional therapists that are out there can really help you to decide, you know, and, you know, one or two consultations can just set you on the right track and just help you, you know what's right for you, essentially, is what I want to kind of convey there.
Yeah, that's so important. Thank you for sharing it. Because I think, again, like you said, what works for one person might be different for the next, right? And we always focus on who has been successful. So if you know that friend that has had one diet and then gone pregnant, and then tells you, this is what I did, then you're quick to go do the same without realizing that perhaps their situation is totally different from yours. And that might not be what you need to do for your own situation.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, the social media, the videos and TikTok, they can be so convincing, you know, and so, you know, and I, you know, we'll just take this one supplement and it's a really expensive supplement and you'll get pregnant. I find that really, I think that's a really kind of damaging kind of nutritional message that's kind of coming through there as well.
Yeah. So important.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of these people on, you know, on social media maybe aren't even properly properly trained, accredited nutritionists either, you know.
Exactly. Some are influencers. That's pretty exactly. much it. They're yeah. just promoting mm-hmm. a product or different products.
100%. Mm-hmm.
And we spoke about vegan as well. That's another thing that, you know, people talk about, because just with inflammation as well, people say perhaps maybe it's better to cut out red meat, cut out chicken, cut out meat, and just be vegan or vegetarian. That might be better for trying to conceive. Is that something that people should be considering, or is it again in line with you need to check what's best for you?
I would say, you know, again, it's quite different, like veganism and vegetarianism, in terms of the nutrients that you can receive from your diet.
Yeah.
I say veganism, sort of first off, if you aren't approaching your vegan diet with a knowledge that there are certain nutrients that are difficult to obtain from a vegan diet, then you need to sort of have support with that. I would say that a vegan diet, if you're adopting a vegan diet just because you think it's better for you and your fertility, that's not the case. It is a vegan diet where you're cutting out all animal products, including dairy, eggs, meat, fish, chicken, poultry, shellfish, is lower in key nutrients that you do need for conception. So that includes B12, that includes iodine, that includes zinc, and that includes selenium and iron as well. So if you're adopting it for nutritional reasons, it's not the best for sure. If you have adopted a vegan diet and you're a longstanding vegan for ethical reasons, because you think it's better for the planet, because you're an animal lover, you know, that is completely your choice. And I have some vegan clients who I have supported sort of to make sure that we at least sort of fill in the nutritional holes in their diet with supplements. We do nutritional testing to find out if they're low in certain nutrients as a result of the vegan diet. So, but I would say if you're looking at an optimal diet for conception, it isn't the vegan diet. So a really good example is dairy products as a source of iodine. We know that women who are vegan are much lower in iodine than women who aren't vegan. So you would want to be maybe making sure that you're supplementing that, filling that gap. If you are sort of have a longstanding kind of vegan plant-based diet. You know, zinc is a really important mineral for both men and women who are trying to conceive. It's really important for men for like sperm production. It's a really important antioxidant. It can help with hormone balance. The best source of zinc in our diet is red meat. So, you know, and that even stands for people who, you know, are meat eaters who maybe avoid red meat. If you're avoiding red meat, perhaps you're not getting a lot of zinc in your diet. So, you know, I think, again, you know, over the past few years, plant-based diets, vegan diets have become really, really, really popular.
Yeah.
You know, again, social media. And some people feel a lot better on them. But let's, you know, be realistic. If you're looking at certain areas of our health, they're low in specific nutrients that we really need. And it was interesting that you said that, you know, meat can be pro-inflammatory, and that's true. Too much red meat can be. So, you know, those people that are eating lots and lots of red meat, that can, you know, drive inflammation. So it's more about quality of the meat you're eating. And I think that's a really important thing, is like sourcing really good quality red meat. Is it maybe organic red meat? Or plant-based red meat, or wild. You know, I'm a big fan of kind of venison, which you get wild in Ireland here, and that's like, you know, a wild game, and it's so nutrient dense. You know, it's not been exposed to hormones or antibiotics because it's not been factory farmed. So I always say to people, you know, buy really good quality meat and just eat less of it. You know. But if you, you know, are committed to a vegan diet, I can work with that with clients too and make sure that we're filling the gaps. So again, it's a person by person, but the main message is, yeah, if you've adopted the vegan diet because you think it's best for you, that's not the case. I've seen some people use a vegan diet sometimes as like a reset, you know, to kind of, they've maybe had a poor diet, they're in a very inflammatory state, and they kind of maybe for a few weeks will kind of go vegan just to maybe, you know, bring down inflammation in the body, kind of reset things. But you know, you can do that even with meat in the diet too. So, you know, it's not necessarily the only way to do that. So yeah, I'm a big fan of having good quality animal products in your diet, in balance. I mean, some people now do refer to vegan diets as plant-based, and that would be, you know, the real benefit of a vegan diet is getting plenty of plants, you know, right. And getting your fruits, vegetables, beans and lentils, you know, those are such really good foods. So filling up on all those has benefits. And I think they should be the main part of your diet. They should be the most abundant element of your diet, the plants. But I think small portions of animal products are really important. And I also see a lot of women who are following either plant-based, vegan, or even vegetarian diets, who are maybe eating too many carbs, relying on carb-based meals and not eating enough protein. Especially for anyone, you know, listening who is struggling with PCOS, that is not good for blood sugar balance. So it can be very difficult to balance your blood sugar levels with those kind of dietary approaches as well, because you inevitably are filling up, you know, sometimes you've removed the protein element from the meal. So you then are filling up on more carbs, and that isn't great for your blood sugar, you know. So that's a really, really important consideration too. Again, so very personalized, you know, if this is you, if you're struggling with PCOS, again, maybe vegetarian and vegan diet isn't the best way to go for you to get on top of those imbalances that are going on within your body. I would say maybe just kind of just clarify between veganism and vegetarianism. Ola, you know, vegetarianism, maybe where you're eating eggs and dairy on a regular basis, you're maybe getting more protein, but maybe just not enough of a variety. And I would say still with vegetarianism, still a potential likelihood that you're not getting enough key nutrients from your diet alone. You know, and I did mention zinc, I've mentioned iodine, but there's also vitamin B12, which you only get in animal products. That's really important. You know, we're always very keyed in on folate as, you know, the key nutrient.
Yeah.
But, you know, folate works together with B12, you know, in supporting kind of egg health, conception. So alongside your folate, you need enough B12. So that's a really, really important one. And also your good fats from fish. You know, I'm talking a lot about meat, but oily fish provide your omega-3 fats. So again, a vegan diet, vegetarian diet are lacking in those, and those omega-3 fats are amazing for both male and female fertility. They can support hormone balance, they can help your blood sugar balance, they can help with reduce inflammation, they support healthy circulation and nutrient and blood supply to the reproductive organs, you know. So, and you know, I mentioned oily fish. And, you know, this doesn't even just apply to a lot of vegan or vegetarian diets. Most people don't eat a lot of oily fish, even if they eat meat. You know, nobody's getting, you know, salmon, mackerel, sardines, anchovies, herring 3 times a week, you know, which is what we should be eating. Yeah. So, you know, that's a really important consideration too, you know.
Wow. Nutrition is such a big part. I don't think we realize how important it is.
Yeah.
Because when you get into the details that you say why you need this and why you need fish and why you need meat and why you need iodine, we just don't see things that way.
Yeah.
And so important to actually work with a nutritionist to understand how important it is to have these nutrients and how to eat right. Because we I mean, I don't look at food that way. Like listening to you, I just eat. I'm just hungry. I just eat something, right? So if I don't realize that, you need to be mindful of what you're eating. And
you know, even just I mean, again, I'm not like one of those strict nutrition therapists, like you have to have this daily, but I think you know, even looking at, you know, what are the general nutritional rules that you can follow daily that are going to help you hit these nutritional targets. Like I always say, you know, when you sit down to dinner, you know, make sure you're filling up half your plate with veg, you know, that's going to help you hit your kind of your folate. And then, you know, having, and then, you know, I mentioned red meat, good quality red meat, maybe twice a week, you know, these little kind of nutritional rules that you can set in place that, you know, maybe initially you have to make an effort, or you have to food plan, or, you know, things like that. But after a few weeks and months, those just come naturally because, you know, you've made the effort. So, you know, they become, you form habits. So, yeah, you know, maybe at the outset you'll go, oh, I can't do this. This is all so, you know, there's all these different new habits to kind of take on board. But, you know, in a few months, those will be second nature and they'll just become your diet, you know, and the way you kind of live, you know, maybe eating more beans and lentils, which I think a lot of people don't eat enough of. And I also think, you know, because I mentioned this whole thing about, you know, folate. So, you know, when you go to see your doctor, you know, oh, they'll say, oh, you know, well, you need to take folic acid or folate. Yeah. But, you know, that's one nutrient that we know of that obviously is supportive of kind of reproductive health, conception, healthy pregnancy. But, you know, behind that, there's all these other nutrients that also play a role. And it's about getting a balance of all of those as well. And that can be from a combination of diet and supplementation, you know, to get the body ready for pregnancy, improve your chances of conceiving as well.
Thank you for sharing that. And I think, again, like I said, it's a mindset change, right? And if you, and it's great that you're not actually eliminating foods. You're just saying cutting it out or reducing, maybe having twice a week, which is still good because you can still look at it and look forward to that meat on Tuesday nights, right? And then on Friday night as well. And then the rest of the week, it's something else, the fish, the oily fish, the plant. So you're still getting a variety. It's just not every day.
Which is
a way to look at it, and you're still getting the nutrients you're supposed to take.
Yeah. But as I said, you know, with some people, like, as I said, again, veganism, plant-based vegetarianism, you know, don't think because I've just mentioned that you have to change your diet and reintroduce meat if you don't want to. Any nutritional therapist will be able to work with you and your, you know, dietary sort of dietary preferences if you really don't want to change. But I do think, though, you know, and I do know of a lot of women who, you know, maybe a few years ago when it was super, super trendy, kind of adopted a vegan diet thinking it was best for them. And now I have gradually moved back to reintroducing, you know, really high quality animal products back into their diet. So maybe not loads, but there's definitely having some because they realized that they were missing out nutritionally. And, you know, as much as I've mentioned supplements, it is always going to be more ideal to get your nutrients from real food rather than a pill. You know, the pill is always going to be the second best option to provide your body with those nutrients. So if you can get it from food, that's going to be, you know, 10 times better for the body.
Yeah. Thank you. It's good that you actually mentioned that about the supplements, because again, like you said, it's better to eat the foods, but people are always still concerned that, okay, well, just in case I'm not getting enough of this or that, what's, and there's so many supplements, right? There's so many choices and options. And again, some people might say, I use this one and it works for me, but you're not even sure if that applies to you or not. So are there any supplements that you would recommend for people trying to conceive?
I mean, yes, I've mentioned that with supplements, but I do definitely recommend, you know, that people trying to conceive do use supplements, because, you know, you want to make sure that you're getting the right nutrients and getting enough of them every single day, especially because, you know, you want, maybe, you know, you're trying to prepare yourself, you're on a schedule because, you know, you've got IVF coming up in a few months, or, you know, I mean, nobody wants to wait around and, you know, spend ages. So, you know, we usually do say, and I think we were going to talk about it a little bit later, Ola, that, you know, we want about a 3-month window. It takes about 3 months to kind of get the body in a good shape nutritionally, you know, pretty much with everything in my experience, you know, it takes 3 months to see real positive changes in the body from dietary changes and supplementation. But also we know that it takes about 3 months for women's eggs to mature. And it takes between 2 and 3 months for men to produce new sperm. So if you imagine, if you're doing all the right things nutritionally in that 3-month window, your body has this, it's like this lovely environment of all the right nutrients, enough of the right nutrients, enough of the right foods, so that those eggs and sperm that you're producing in that 3-month window are going to be really high quality. So that's really why, you know, we talk about this three-month preconception, and it's got this lovely kind of symmetry to the trimesters of pregnancy and everything as well. For the body, for some reason things seem to go in 3-month blocks quite nicely. So yes, definitely think about, you know, 3 months preconception prior to treatment, or if you're trying to conceive naturally, you know, you want a 3-month window. So I even sometimes say to people, you know, take a break from trying, let's take 3 months and just completely focus on getting yourself really healthy and then start trying again. And in that time, I do put clients on a bit of a program of supplements. So I will always use with male and female partners a good fertility multivitamin, because I want to make sure that they're not missing out on anything. So that for the female will be a really good quality multivitamin that will have obviously your folate, B12, iodine, iron, zinc, selenium. Those are nutrients that are kind of non-negotiable. I'll always want to see in the fertility multi. For the male partner, again, folate, zinc, selenium, really, really important. Another thing I always do with clients together with the multivitamin is I will always check their vitamin D status, because that is really, really key. So, and I don't just blindly supplement with vitamin D, Ola. I will test vitamin D levels and then see where my clients are at, because no matter where you live in the world, you do not know what your vitamin D levels are. And, you know, I know people that have just come back from, you know, a 4 week holiday and had low vitamin D, or, you know, so it's really hard to know.
Yeah.
So I always test vitamin D and make sure that then I can get my client up to optimal levels. Vitamin D for women is really important for early stages of conception, early stages of pregnancy. It's a real immune balancer. It's a natural anti-inflammatory. So, you know, I always say it's one of the easiest things you can do to support your fertility is check your vitamin D and make sure it's optimal. Really easy thing that you can do. For men, low vitamin D is linked to low sperm count and low sperm quality. And there was a really interesting piece of research where they took a group of men who had reproductive health issues. They tested their vitamin D levels and then they treated the vitamin D levels. And during that time, they tested their sperm. And when the vitamin D was low, you know, sperm parameters were low, quality, number, etc. And in line with improving their vitamin D levels, you actually saw sperm quality numbers increase. So, you know, such a straightforward thing you can do. You know, and there might be various reasons why you're low in vitamin D, you know, living in Northern Europe. Or maybe you know you're really good at putting on your sunscreen, you protect your skin every day and you're putting on factor 50 on your face and you're covering up. You know, that is another reason. Maybe for cultural reasons, you cover your body and you cover your head and you cover your arms every day. You're not getting enough vitamin D. So really, really, really important to do this. So together with the multi, I will test my client's vitamin D and then make sure we get them on a really good protocol to get their vitamin D up to optimal levels. And then together with that, I will usually give an omega-3 supplement. These would be my three base ones, the multivitamin, the omega-3 and the vitamin D. Omega-3, again, because of all the reasons I mentioned that the oily fish are really high quality. Yeah. The omega-3 fats are really important for your reproductive health. But I often go with a really high quality supplement because eating lots of oily fish, and this is one of those real areas of nutrition, that, you know, to go into, eating lots of oily fish can have heavy metals. It can have antibiotics. It can have toxins in oily fish nowadays, unless, you know, you're sourcing wild salmon from, I don't know from where. So too much oily fish is not recommended, especially for women trying to conceive. Maybe just one serving a week. So for clients, I am much more happy and relaxed that they get their omega-3s from a high quality supplement that has been screened for heavy metals, screened for toxins. So that's where I would, and then maybe just have oily fish once a week, but we're meeting omega-3 needs from a supplement. So that's really, those are the kind of the three base ones. And then on top of that, I will use supplements, but it depends on the client and their specific needs. I use quite a lot nowadays, probiotics. So, you know, these good bacteria, because I'm especially recently, I've started doing quite a lot of like vaginal microbiome testing for clients who are trying to conceive. So we know that the vaginal microbiome is so important. And I must say I'm having really good results with clients when we do that. So I will often recommend probiotics. I think they can have a really beneficial role. You know, probiotics, the good bacteria, and we're probably all aware of the fact that we have a population of good bacteria in our gut. And, you know, that has benefits for the rest of the body. So the good bacteria in our gut they balance our immune system, they balance inflammation, they help our absorption of nutrients, they can also help hormone balance, you know, they help us process excess hormones. So, you know, all these areas that we know of that are really relevant to fertility health, like inflammation, hormone balance, nutrient absorption, your probiotic, your good bacteria can support that. But then for women, and even for men now, we know we have a vaginal microbiome and we have a seminal microbiome. So you have a population of good bacteria in your vagina, you have a population of good bacteria in the semen. And we know that they keep eggs healthy, sperm healthy. And for women, having a really good balanced vaginal microbiome, it can help conception. So really important. I would do the vaginal microbiome testing quite a lot with clients who are maybe preparing for IVF transfer or have had failed transfer as well. And we look at the balance of the vaginal microbiome and see, can we get that in good balance? You know, are there maybe some bad bacteria that could be causing inflammation in the vaginal area, maybe interfering with implantation? And it's usually really quite straightforward to support. So that's for me a really interesting area, and a lot we can do nutritionally there as well. So that would be the main place I'd look at. And then obviously on a client by client basis, I might be using different supplements. Maybe, for example, for someone with endometriosis, I'll use, you know, something more specific for hormone balance and reducing inflammation. For someone with PCOS, I'll maybe be looking more at supporting you know, blood sugar balance, insulin sensitivity. So again, there's that kind of base kind of program that I'll put someone on. And then there may be sort of additional add-ons depending on that person's specific nutritional need. I do think I have seen clients who come in who are already taking maybe too many supplements. And I think that's a really important conversation to have as well.
Yeah.
That you can take too many, you know, especially high potency antioxidants, you know, too many of those in the supplementation can actually can actually be more harmful than good for the body. So I think, you know, that's another place where working with a nutritional therapist actually can save you money in the long run, because you don't have, they will usually, you know, maybe not recommend as many supplements as you're kind of buying yourself, or maybe you've read a book and you didn't know what supplements were right for you, so you're taking all of them. You know, so I think it's a really important thing that to understand that, you know, just because some supplements is good doesn't mean that more is better. You know, I've worked with, you know, clients who've maybe been ordering supplements from the States, like DHEA and melatonin and things like that.
It's so crazy that I keep smiling because I feel like you're talking to me, because this is the time I had like a whole case of different supplements. And it was, you know, DHEA was one of them. You know, you just see someone on the internet took it and you just buy a whole bunch. Some of them are working against each other and you just,
using
everything.
And again, you know, but that's such a natural approach, isn't it? Like someone said, take this, it's really good. But then you don't know, do you need it? You know, that's the thing. And also, you know, being very careful about supplementing anything that is actually a hormone in the body, like DHEA or, you know, even melatonin, if you don't need it, you know, it can actually be putting other things out of balance in your system as well. So, it's also, you know, the antioxidants, that's a really important one, because we haven't really gone into it yet, sort of, Ola, but antioxidants are really important nutrients for protecting sperm health, egg quality. So antioxidants are like a type of nutrients, or kind of, a type of chemical in the body. And you can get them from your food, directly from your food, your antioxidants. Or your body produces its own antioxidants from certain nutrients. And then you can also get them in supplements as well. So antioxidants, the reason they're so powerful for supporting male and female fertility is that they protect sperm and egg cells from damage. So so they prevent them from damage from like inflammation or oxidative stress in the body. And especially sperm cells are very vulnerable to damage. So antioxidants are really, really key for keeping those cells healthy. So at the end of 3 months, if you've had, say, for example, we talked about that 3 month window. If during that 3 month window, you're eating an antioxidant rich diet, you've got an abundance of antioxidants from your diet, you're protecting those cells, the sperm cells and egg cells, while they're developing. At the end of those 3 months, they're going to be higher quality sperm and egg cells. So antioxidants are, you know, amazing for female and male fertility. But antioxidant supplements high dose can actually have a negative impact. So we call it like the Goldilocks effect. So where, you know, you have to get just right. So, you know, you don't want to have too few antioxidants. You don't want to have too many. You just want to get just right, because too many can actually damage cells. So this is where the body is really complex.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've seen people taking mega high doses of CoQ10, and then they maybe also are taking, you know, glutathione, alpha lipoic acid, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And you could be taking too many antioxidants, and that can actually damage cell quality. So I don't want to go too much into the science, but just to know that can be a factor. So if you're, you know, going online and you're ordering, as I said, CoQ10, alpha lipoic acid, glutathione, all of these antioxidants, you might be taking too much together with your diet. For clients, for me, we always focus on making sure your diet is antioxidant rich from key foods, and also making sure you have the nutrients that then the body uses to produce antioxidants. So that includes zinc and selenium. So that's where zinc and selenium are always coming up for fertility health, reproductive health, because they help the body produce its own antioxidants. And if the body is producing its own antioxidants, it's never going to produce too many, you know. So
right.
Make sure you have those. Yeah, exactly. It's a more natural process. And just sort of like a quick recap, you know, antioxidant rich foods are extra virgin olive oil. I recommend 2 tablespoons daily for everyone, you know, so important. Mushrooms, especially like shiitake mushrooms, they are really rich in glutathione. Avocado for vitamin E, which is an antioxidant. All your berries are fantastic. All those brightly colored purple, pink foods. So all your berries, pomegranates, you know, really great. Red cabbage, red onions, fantastic for reproductive health. Now, this is really interesting. For women, beta carotene is really important for egg quality. It's a really important antioxidant in the egg cells. So, you know, those orange pigments that we associate in carrots, but right. You'll also get them in sweet potato, butternut squash, you know, mango, peaches. That those orange pigments, beta carotene, carotenoids, are really important for egg quality. You know, and the body actually concentrates those the beta carotene in egg cells. So really, really key. So for women, I always say, you know, even if you make a salad every day, grate in a carrot, and you're getting your beta carotene. Whereas for men, the antioxidant that's really key is lycopene, which is the one that comes from tomatoes. But what's really interesting about lycopene is that it increases the more you cook tomatoes. So a raw tomato has less. Yeah. So a raw tomato has less lycopene than cooked tomatoes or like tomato sauce. So I usually recommend for my couples that are conceiving, for the male, to take like a dessert spoon of tomato paste. So, you know, organic tomato paste just from the supermarket, drizzle it with olive oil, because actually the olive oil helps you absorb the antioxidants in it. So take that, or else put it on a cracker or something. That is like, that's like a natural lycopene supplement, and some really good research on that really helping with like sperm quality. So every day, come home from work, like if you want a snack, get your cracker, get your tomato paste, drizzle it with olive oil, and that is your kind of lycopene supplement every day. So really, really interesting, all these foods. So the main source should be the diet, really, for all these antioxidant rich foods. And then making sure then you have a multivitamin that provides these minerals that your body will use to produce antioxidants, rather than just going, okay, I need this antioxidant blend.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not to say I would never use it, but I would never use excessive amounts of those nutrient blends for clients. So
thank you so much for sharing. It is so important that people get a nutritionist, because you just
Yeah.
You know, you just, like you said, you're flooded with so much information on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
You want to try as much as possible to do what's right. You mm-hmm. buy everything, and you can't, sometimes you don't actually realize it can be too much.
Yeah.
And it can cause, even do more harm than good.
Yeah. And you're also spending a fortune. You know, yeah. Sometimes, you know, people come to me and they've maybe bought supplements from, you know, through Instagram or something. And I say, like, I can get you this something that is just as good a quality with just the right same level of nutrients for a lot cheaper as well, you know, so maybe even half the price. And I think that's a really important thing to understand. Like, you know, I am always amazed at the price of supplements kind of that are, you know, obviously for me as a nutritionist, they come up on my kind of feed as well, quite a yeah. lot, all these supplements. And I'm always amazed at the price. I'm always like, I wouldn't spend £30 on that. You know, you can get that a good quality alternative for 15, or, you know, so I think that's a really important consideration as well. You know, you're maybe paying more than you should for that supplement because it's, you know, it looks all fancy and the packaging's all fancy and, you know, all that sort of thing. So definitely, you know.
Yeah. And even the vitamin D you mentioned, you're so surprised that, I mean, I live in Nigeria and so many people in Nigeria also have vitamin D deficiencies because yes, we have sun all the time, but people don't like to go out in the sun. So we actually avoid the sun. When it's sunny, you stay in. And then when the sun goes down, they're like, okay, I can come out now, which is different from what people might do in the West, right? You go out in the sun, but you know, it's the reverse. So you can't assume that just because you live in a sunny place, that means your vitamin D is fine, because we're not in the sun anyways.
No, definitely. So, yeah, I mean, apparently one of the places in the world where they have the most vitamin D deficiency is actually Australia, because it's a sunny country, but they're very religious about using their, you know, factor 50. They're very much keyed into sunscreen and covering up. So apparently a lot of Australians have vitamin D deficiency for that reason. And, you know, another consideration, Ola, is, you know, you have a darker skin, so it takes more sunlight for you to produce the vitamin D because you've got more natural protection. So, you know, that's another consideration to take on board. You know, for you, it may takes more hours out in the sun to produce the same vitamin D as it would for me, you know. So you always have to take all these different considerations on board as well.
Oh, good to know. Thank you.
But it's not even expensive. You know, you can, some doctors will test your vitamin D, but you can get a private test for relatively cheap. And as I said, it's like, it is one of the really the most straightforward things you can do to kind of look after your reproductive health.
Good to know. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I know you spoke a lot about some deficiencies, but I just wonder, what about iron? Should people be concerned about that for fertility?
Yeah, definitely for women. Iron's an interesting one. For women, when you have your iron levels tested, you know, there's different measures of iron kind of deficiency. You know, sometimes it's hemoglobin and the ferritin. Ferritin is your iron stores. Ferritin is always one I look at, because the kind of reference range for kind of healthy ferritin levels, it goes quite low. So you could have your iron levels checked and be told that you have healthy ferritin. But if it's below 50, there's a link between ferritin levels below 50 and reduced chances of conceiving. So, and sort of having a sort of healthy pregnancy. So a lot of women are maybe having their iron levels checked. They're told it's healthy, but ferritin is still below 50. So I usually, with my clients, I usually get them to go to their GP and get a full blood count, especially if there is a history of iron deficiency, you know, or even maybe they don't even know they've had iron deficiency in the past, because I always want to see their ferritin levels, because again, something so straightforward to check and to address as well, Ola, because if your ferritin levels are low, you know, think about what iron does in the body, carries oxygen in your red blood cells, that helps to carry oxygen to your reproductive organs, you know, all those things to supply oxygen to your ovaries, to the, you know, for men to their sperm. So especially for women, I always say, go get your bloods done. We'll look at the ferritin. And if it's lower than 50, we want to address that, because it won't be addressed by your GP, you know, for various reasons. For men, it's an interesting one, because men obviously are much less likely to be low in iron, because women lose blood, like when we have our period through menstruation. So men, I only ever recommend men supplement with iron when iron is very low, rather than blindly supplementing. So even if men are taking a fertility multi, I never recommend they take one with iron. And that's because there's been a link between men supplementing with iron and poor sperm quality. So men should never really supplement with iron unless they're really iron deficient. And this can actually have a negative impact on sperm quality. And I have seen people coming to me with some like male fertility multis that have got high iron in them. And I'm like, you don't need that. You don't need the iron. You need to change your fertility multi because iron is actually potentially not good for sperm health. So that's a really interesting one as well.
Thank you. So good to know. Okay. Thank you so much for sharing that. I know you talk about a supplement and, you know, for some people, we've had one of the questions, someone saying that the doctor said their BMI is fine. They look okay. They don't need to change any diets. They don't need to change any supplements. And I know we've spoken in depth about supplements, but should we be believing the fact that because we look or the BMI seems fine and we don't have any weight challenges that we could potentially not need any dietary changes or supplements?
I think, you know, the supplements, they can just always make sure you're in an optimal place nutritionally, you know. I must say most kind of fertility specialist doctors nowadays are very on board with dietary changes and kind of even using some nutritional supplements. I think there's been a big change there. The most, you know, even sort of medical fertility specialists, they do seem to really promote a holistic approach nowadays. I think if you've seen someone who says, oh, you don't need any supplements and you don't need to change your diet, they're probably in the minority nowadays, which is a really good thing. But I always say to people, you know, I've seen clients like that. They're going, oh, my consultant said, if I'm not smoking and I'm not drinking and I'm eating okay, I don't need anything else. And I said, well, you know, oh, but they told me to take folic acid. And I said, well, you know, everything else that we were discussing, it's kind of in line with that. It's just, you know, it's just a more holistic approach. So, you know, your doctor mentioned folate, but there's all these other nutrients that also would work really well together with that. Or, you know, the same way that not smoking and not drinking is going to have a beneficial effect on your body, so is going to be, you know, eating an antioxidant rich diet. So, you know, they do give some dietary and nutritional advice, but they don't give the whole picture sometimes, those doctors that go, you know, and I think as sort of the research and the evidence builds for the benefits of diet, infertility, and reproductive health, more and more doctors are getting on board. So I would say there's been a big change there. But if you've had a doctor who said, you know, oh, you don't need to do anything, I don't know if I would really listen to them. And I also would consider, you know, have they had any real nutrition training or done any real research there? And then I also would say, what have you got to lose by eating better? And it's definitely not going to have a negative effect on you. You know, what have you got to lose? And, you know, depending on where you're at in your fertility journey, you know, maybe you're at a stage where you're like, I want to do everything. You know, maybe you're preparing for an IVF cycle and you're self-funding. Well, you know, what have you got to lose? You're eating anyway. Why not eat the right foods? And, you know, maybe a 3-month kind of prep of dietary changes and all the right supplements, you know, could save you from having to come back and do another round, which is very expensive. So, you know, if you want to throw everything at this and put all your efforts in and making sure you've got the best chances of this cycle being successful, like, again, what have you got to lose from, you know, eating better and taking a few of the right supplements as well, you know?
Well said. Thank you.
But yeah, my experience nowadays is that most kind of reproductive health specialists, you know, they're tending to recommend, you know, lots of holistic therapies like acupuncture, reflexology, you know, because I think they just, I think you look at it, what, you know, what's going to make you feel better and more positive. You know, I think that's a really important thing as well, you know, give you more energy, you know, help you relax more, you know, all those things.
So well said. Thank you. And of course, you know, you spoke a little about it, you know, talking about alcohol, and you already mentioned that 3 months is a good time to try to make those changes. Sometimes people are concerned that does that mean they cannot have a glass of wine every now and then while hanging out with friends? Should we be cutting that out totally, at least in that 3 month space before any fertility treatments or trying to conceive without treatment?
I mean, I always say if you can cut it out completely, that is the best place to be in. You know, alcohol, it's empty calories, it depletes nutrients, again, like folate, it can deplete nutrients. For women, it can affect your hormone balance. So, you know, if you can get rid of it, you know, that is the best place to be at. I mean, and I also think, you know, if you are struggling to completely eliminate alcohol from your diet and lifestyle, you know, maybe think about why, because, you know, if everything goes well, you'll be, you know, women will be pregnant and then maybe potentially feeding, and, you know, your lifestyle is going to change. So maybe this is the time to change it anyway. But then I completely understand, you know, maybe you want to go out with friends and have a glass of wine. I would say kind of real minimal. You know, I usually say to people, you know, no more than 2 glasses of alcohol a week is what you would definitely wouldn't want. And it's also really important that it isn't kind of what we would call like binge drinking, that there's an awful lot of, you know, there's no alcohol all week and then it's all binged in one night, because that's actually where alcohol really is very damaging to the body. And we talked about antioxidants as well. Alcohol will deplete your antioxidants. So you could be doing all the kind of right things and trying to eat more vegetables, increase your antioxidant levels in your body, and alcohol is going to deplete all of that as well. So, you know, I mean, really bringing it down to the bare minimum is really important. And then obviously, at any time that you could potentially be pregnant. So either, you know, when you've been ovulating, if you're trying kind of naturally, or during the 2-week wait, you know, definitely no alcohol whatsoever is what I would generally recommend for clients. But if you can really cut it out, you know, as and bring it down to the bare minimum, that's the place that I would recommend to be at. And, you know, this whole thing like, oh, red wine for antioxidants, you know, the alcohol in that is going to negate the benefits of the antioxidants. So don't kind of fool yourself that you're having your glass of red wine for your antioxidant kind of dose of antioxidants on a Friday night, you know. But I also understand that maybe you're trying to conceive and you don't want people to know that you're not drinking. But you know, there's like a kind of, do they call it stealth drinking or stealth? So you pretend that you're drinking, but you're not. So you're maybe having like a non-alcoholic beer and people don't know, or
right.
Pretend you're having a gin and tonic, but it's just tonic water. so some people do that when they're, you know, trying to conceive, or even I've known people like maybe are early stages of pregnancy and they're socializing and they do that. You know, so you pretend that you're having a drink, but you're not. So there's ways around it if you're trying, you know, if the whole social side of things, you know.
Right.
Yeah. I must say there's a lot of really nice alcohol-free options nowadays, I think. You know, I think non-alcoholic beer tastes just like beer, in my opinion. And there's also like a fermented green tea drink called kombucha, which is actually really good for your biome. And it's because it's fermented, it tastes a little bit like kind of a more grown-up alcoholic drink. So kombucha would be a really nice one, you know, to have if you want like a little bit of a grown-up drink with dinner maybe at the weekend. And that's one I would recommend quite a lot.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
What about coffee? Should it be decaf?
There's so much to talk about with coffee. It's unreal. Everything you're asking, there's so much to talk about, Ola. So coffee, so let's talk about, first of all, if you're kind of trying to prepare the body for conception, that's sort of, say, a 3-month period. You don't want excessive coffee. So, you know, for most people, I'd say no more than 2-3 cups a day maximum, because too much caffeine can deplete nutrients, can affect absorption of nutrients. So you're maybe trying to, you know, you're taking your supplements, you're trying to eat really well, you're drinking too much coffee, the caffeine can be a bit of a diuretic, so it can cause you to lose some nutrients. So just watch out for that. I mean, and also, like, if you're, I always say to people, if you're needing 5-6 coffees to get through the day, you know, there's something not right in terms of energy levels, exhaustion. So again, you know, when we look at sort of maybe holistically look at all, you know, all body health, you know, if you're needing 5 or 6 coffees a day, there's something not right. There's something we need to look at kind of nutritionally. So yeah, 2 coffees a day max, I usually would say, in that sort of window. When you could potentially be pregnant, kind of maybe no more than like 1 cup a day. And then as soon as you get a positive pregnancy test result, in my opinion, I do tend to recommend for at least the first 3 months, like no caffeine. So everything decaf as much as possible. So that could be decaf coffee, decaf tea, red bush tea, fab alternative, you know, or herbal teas, you know, so something like maybe cinnamon, ginger, etc. the one thing I'd say with decaf is that you want to make sure that your decaf tea or your decaf coffee are organic decaf tea or organic decaf coffee, because the chemicals that are used to decaffeinate can actually be quite nasty. So you want to make sure, whereas you can get organic decaf tea or organic decaf coffee, and they are decaffeinated with like water method. So because they're organic, so they aren't exposed to all those chemicals. So that's what I would usually look to source. And there's lots on the market now. Like I know that like we have an espresso machine. I know whenever I was pregnant, I sourced like organic decaf capsules to put in my coffee machine. And, you know, there's loads on the market now. So just, yeah, an organic decaf coffee is the way to go. So unfortunately, like in coffee shops and things, their decaf coffee is unlikely to be organic, right. Unfortunately. So that's a really important consideration when you are drinking decaf, that it's not your generic decaf coffee.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you. I think for anyone listening, you have just helped to really amplify the reasons why people need a nutritionist, right? Because there's so much information, but so many considerations, and it's important that things are tailored to specific needs and not mm-hmm. just general
yeah.
Information that we see out there all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. So important.
Yeah. But you know, there is that advice out there. Like I know that whenever I was pregnant, my doctor was like, I dropped it into the conversation that I was just drinking decaf. I'd eliminated caffeine, and my doctor was like, oh no, you can have caffeine. But I know definitely, you know, and you probably, you know, one a day might not be a problem, but for me, I always think erring on the side of caution is the best place to be. So, you know, there is the link with excess caffeine and potential risk of miscarriage. So for me, for at least the first 3 months of pregnancy, I wouldn't touch kind of any. And, you know, also don't forget there can be caffeine in a lot of things like, you know, diet drinks, sodas, things like that. So watch out for, you know, maybe sources of caffeine that you're not familiar with as well. And then, you know, most people find if you've got through the first 3 months without any caffeine, you can do the rest, you know, so it's not too difficult. And you know, as I said, there's lots of really good alternatives out there, like your herbal teas, like your red bush tea, or, you know, ginger tea, cinnamon, things like that are all nice, berry teas, things like that. They're all really nice kind of caffeine free alternatives too.
Thank you. So important. So I'm sure that people that have listened to you today definitely want to reach out to you, because, you know, again, we've realized the importance of our diet and not just eating just because you're hungry, you just need to eat something to be full. But we also need to be mindful of the fact that we need to be getting the right nutrients. And of course, the considerations for the supplements and things that we might want to avoid, or perhaps things we want to eat more of. Mm-hmm. So having a nutritionist helping us through the whole process and tailoring things to our specific needs and doing all the right tests is really important. So if people want to reach out to you, what's the best way to reach out to you?
You can find me on Instagram. You can direct message me if you like. That's how a lot of people seem to get in touch with me. I think you have my email, so if you want to put it in the show notes,
okay.
I'm happy. And I know, I think I've given you the link to my Instagram as well in the show.
Yes, I have it.
Yeah, so if you want to reach out that way, that's all good. Even if you want to ask any straightforward, simple questions, I'm happy to respond as well.
Okay. And can you work with anyone globally? Because I know that you mentioned that you work with some people in the UK and in Ireland.
I generally work with people in the UK, Ireland, but I have some clients in Europe and some clients in the US and things. So yeah, all over the world.
Okay, and the consultations are done virtually anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Mostly virtually. I do see some people face-to-face in Belfast.
Okay.
but yeah, mostly I can do virtual consultations, yeah.
Okay, perfect. I wonder, is there any other information you wanted to provide? Again, I know that you've touched on so many aspects already. Mm-hmm. So I wonder, just before we wrap up, is there anything else that you'd like to share?
Even if we want to talk about, you know, we've talked a lot about diet and things.
Yeah.
I just want to even say, you know, if you wanted to give advice to anyone trying to conceive, it's really important to just look at your lifestyle and see, you know, where are the holes? Where am I, you know, am I working really long hours? Are you not sleeping? I didn't touch on sleep, Ola, but that's another really massive area. You know, especially for anyone trying to lose weight, if you're not sleeping, it can make losing weight a very difficult issue. So, you know, again, this is where working with someone one-on-one really can help, because, you know, if you're not sleeping, sometimes that's the first thing to change, is get your sleep pattern right. You know, how can we support a really good night's sleep? And also we mentioned, you know, supplementing with melatonin. If you get sleep right, you can produce your own melatonin in the body. And, you know, sleep is free. It's like, that's what I always say to clients. It's like one of the best things you can do for your health, and it doesn't cost anything. You know, so are you prioritizing sleep? Are you doing, you know, the right things to get a good sleep pattern? Because a lot of us aren't, you know, and, you know, maybe we're staying up watching, you know, a show on Netflix.
Netflix.
Like we're on our phone, you know. So what, you know, like, what are the other things you can do? You know, I also haven't touched on, you know, eliminating like chemicals, but that's another thing that I could talk about for 2 hours. You know, so, but I think, you know, it is a real holistic sort of approach, you know, looking at your diet and nutrition. But I always say, you know, what have you got to lose from eating better? That is the real important thing. You know, it's going to benefit you, and you have to eat anyway, so shouldn't you be eating the foods that are going to benefit your fertility? You know, it's just that straightforward for me. But I do understand how it has become a huge minefield in terms of, where do I even start? What should I do? You know, should I start with the supplements? Should I get any, you know, functional testing? Because I know with fertility, there's so many tests that you're maybe recommended by fertility clinics, or you see all these different tests. And again, someone like myself can help you decipher, you know, and determine, you know, what should you be testing for. I actually have like an Instagram post about even, you know, the straightforward full blood count that your doctor does. That can actually, you know, if someone brings me one of those, I can look at that and go, okay, this is already somewhere we can start from. Is iron low? Is the, are your blood sugars high? You know, is your thyroid potentially off? So sometimes, you know, you don't have to initially go and pay £300-400 for some of these fancy tests. Let's start with a full blood count. Let's look at an assessment and see, you know. So I do think, I can understand if you're having treatment and you're already spending a lot of money on, you know, a fertility clinic, oh, to start to pay a nutritionist again, you know, an extra fee can be, you know, can be a lot. But I think it can really help you kind of, you know, wade through all the noise and know exactly what you need to do. So I think it can actually save you money in the long run as well, you know.
Definitely can. And just knowing what's right, because again, there's so many options, there's so much information out there, and you're not sure which one is right, which one is wrong. So coming to work with a nutritionist that is licensed is much better, because you know that what you're getting is information that's actually relevant to you.
Yeah. And I also think, you know, some people go, oh, well, all this information is actually conflicting. And I'm like, maybe it's not. Maybe we can actually put it together. But I also think, you know, sometimes just taking your information from, you know, as I said, social media or some, you know, someone who doesn't really know, it can actually be more harmful than good. You know, like, for example, you know, there's some evidence coming through that fasting is not good for women trying to conceive. And a lot of people who maybe are trying to lose weight or just, you know, are very focused on maybe health or reducing inflammation might think, oh, fasting has all this really important evidence, you know. And I'm like,
yeah, intermittent fasting and all.
Yeah,
that.
Exactly. And there's some evidence that that's not actually ideal for women who are trying to conceive. It may be more beneficial for women in their later life, maybe kind of around menopause, but fasting maybe isn't ideal. It might be okay for men, but not for women. So, you know, it's about applying all this, and then even just the real straightforward things you can do. Like, there's so much interesting research on, you know, even a handful of nuts every day improving sperm quality, you know. So you know, and sometimes small changes can actually kind of bring about, over say 3 months, can bring about you know, real important changes and improvements in your overall health. It's about consistency as well. And I always say to people, it's not what you do occasionally, it's what you do every day that is going to have real benefits. So, you know, okay, you had a glass of wine at the weekend, but you had, you know, a handful of nuts every single day during the week, you know, so things like that are really important to remember. And not being too strict as well. Like, as I said, it's the 80-20 rule, you know, so you can have a night off. That's a really important thing to remember. At the weekend, maybe give yourself a, you know, get a takeaway because you're exhausted and you need a break, right, and just want to sit in front of the TV. I completely understand. If you've been eating well all week, that is not going to upset the apple cart, you know, in terms of your nutrition.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Well, you're so helpful, Sarah. It's been amazing having you on here today. I feel like myself and every listener feels like we're so much more informed now, and we actually just really realize the importance of not just doing things because someone on the internet did it or because your friend did it and it worked out, mm-hmm, for them. Everyone is different.
Yeah.
And every fertility diagnosis is different as well. So, mm-hmm, you don't know what that person had and what you actually, mm-hmm, have. So, mm-hmm, it's important to not just do things because you see it on the internet, but actually, mm-hmm, get your own tailored consultation. So that, mm-hmm, way you can approach it better.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
So
yeah.
Thank you so much for your time. I know you're so passionate about this, and everyone can see the passion and hear the passion in your voice. So thank you for all that you're doing and for coming to answer all those questions that we have. Yeah. Of course, all your details will be in the show notes. So I know that people, mm-hmm, will definitely be reaching out to you, mm-hmm, for consultations on how to move forward with their own fertility journey. So thank you for all, yeah, that you're doing.
No, and thanks for having me. I really enjoyed it. We've got so much. There's so much that we probably didn't get covered.
I know. Perhaps we might have a part two because, you know,
we could have a part two.
Part two, yeah. So that, yeah, we can, definitely, touch on all those other aspects, like the chemicals and other, mm-hmm, aspects that you might want to go in depth about.
And sleep, etc. Yeah, definitely. Exactly. There's more we could talk about for sure.
Yes. Thank you so much.
And Jerry,
yes. And look forward to. Yeah. Go ahead.
I really enjoyed just talking about it. Yeah.
Yes, thank you. And we look forward to having you again in the near future for the part two.
Yeah, we can do that.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Fertility Conversations podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a 5-star rating and subscribe. Follow us on Instagram at Fertility Conversations. If there are any topics you would like to have discussed, please send an email to fertilityconversations@gmail.com. Be sure to tune in next week for our next episode. Thank you again for listening. Take care of yourself and do stay hopeful.